Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 97. All right, quick announcements. I'll be performing at the Arlington Cinema Draft in Arlington, Virginia, parenthetically DC, June 17th and June 18th. Also, tickets are on sale for our Nerdist Podcast Live at Comic-Con, July 23rd. You can get ticket information for both of those at Nerdist.com. Also, if you're in Los Angeles, come see us at NerdMelt, Nerdist at Meltdown. You can follow us at NerdMelt on Twitter. You can also go to MeltComics.com to see upcoming shows like Dan Harmon from Community, or Jeff Garlin, or Dana Gould, or David Koechner, or Jonah Ray, or Kumail Nanjiani, or Jimmy Dore, or me, Chris Hardwick. So check us out. Come out and see our live performances. They're super fun. And also, you just really get to see Meltdown Comics. It's like a freaking clubhouse that I always wanted when I was a kid. And now I have it. I'm okay. I'd also like to thank our returning sponsor, GoToMeeting. Guys, it is challenging to get colleagues together for a meeting when people are traveling or working remotely. And GoToMeeting solves this challenge by letting everyone meet wherever they are. You just need an internet connection. Everyone will literally be on the same page in seconds. Totally easy for you. It's easy for your attendees. You'll look like you know what you're doing. Makes conference calls much more effective. Collaborate, plan meetings, do status updates, wherever you are. It's great. Sign up for your free 30-day trial at GoToMeeting. Have all the meetings you want for one low flat rate. Visit GoToMeeting.com and click the Try It Free button, and then enter the promo code Nerdist. And now the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 97, with Zooey Deschanel. I know.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
All right. What?
Just microphone slash studio.
Everything's awesome.
Oh, everything's great.
Everything's awesome all the time.
Everything's awesome.
Yeah, I'm recording already.
Oh.
There's no official. There's no setup. We just start recording. It's
That's the beauty of podcasts.
We just stumble into it.
That's the beauty of podcasts. They don't have to sound professional or polished.
No. They ask for it. I didn't mean that.
Oh, no, I did. Believe me. I totally did.
They ask for it to be professional, but we don't listen.
We don't really. It's almost like we don't see the thousands of tweets complaining about the audio levels. How's your microphone, Matthew?
Don't know.
I hear it.
You tell me.
I can hear it.
Yeah?
Okay, we're good.
All right.
How's your, like, compression setup? Because, like, nothing bothers me more than, like, a podcast that blows out my ears.
You just became the voice of the audience.
Yeah.
You just became the voice of the audience. Compression on them, because we're in a professional setup now.
It looks really, there's a lot of equipment in
Thank
here.
You.
Yeah, it burns onto a CD.
A compact disc,
really?
If you will.
Yeah.
They used those back in the 1900s.
Yeah, remember?
No, I don't remember.
Remember riding your big wheel cycle to the record store for the CD?
Oh, what are you? Are you doing big VH1 now? I love the 90s.
Yeah.
Zooey Deschanel is here. Hello,
hey.
Zooey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm so excited that you're on our show.
Thanks for having me.
I am thrilled that you're here. We had... There was a week where we did the same episode of Chelsea Lately, and then the next day I saw you at the Ferguson show.
We were doing like a late night. We were stalking each other.
Yeah,
late night.
Did you do any other ones that I didn't do?
I don't think so. Those were like the two ones I did.
Those are the two.
It was weird though. I mean, that was weird.
Do you like doing the talk shows?
I love it. I love doing talk shows. I think those guys are really nice for sure. Sometimes it's stressful, but I like it when they have no pre-interview, like,
mm-hmm.
or if you can, not that they have no pre-interview, but if you can convince them not to do one.
Well, we take no pre-interview to the next
at all.
I
exactly.
like it because I like just talking and then, you know, it's more fun.
That's what's so great about Ferguson and Fallon, both of them, like they'll just talk to you like you're a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so nice. It's weird when people are really stuck on note cards,
but that's the old style of talk show. That's the way it used to be.
They get a story and then they tell you what that story, it remind you what the story you told them on the phone. And then
you say this and then Jay will ignore that and start a whole other thing.
So I heard you recently had some trouble at the airport.
Wait, I was just talking about kids.
No, you're in the airport.
No,
he's very nice. So, I think they're all nice
and
fun.
Generic.
You know,
it wasn't directed at
anyone. Yeah.
That was Ferguson. She means Ferguson.
Yeah.
Craig Ferguson.
I enjoy them all, but I like that Craig Ferguson lets you like go off.
And I feel like a jackass because you introduced me to your husband Ben. In the back of my head, I was like, wow, he looks really familiar. And so I went home and I saw my girlfriend. I go, oh yeah, I met Zoe and she's great. And her husband Ben, I can't place it. And she just looked at me. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Because I'm a huge Death Cab fan. Aww. Huge. Aww. Love the Postal Service. And it just, for some reason, there was just a disconnect. I just didn't. I don't know why he didn't have his
like magical glasses on.
And he's lost a ton of weight within the past few years, right?
He lost like 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
That's a ton.
I guess that is a lot.
I just, for some reason, it was not, I did not, I guess I just didn't know you were married. And so
he wasn't wearing his glasses to tip you off.
So really, that was kind of his fault.
He wasn't singing or anything.
Yeah. He was not wearing his Ben shirt.
He wasn't wearing the shirt that said Ben. Hi, I'm in Death Cab.
And his Death Cab tour jacket. Yeah. and the Postal Service backstage
pass. Multiple laminates.
It's funny. My dad's a cinematographer, and he shot a Rolling Stones documentary in like the early 80s when I was like a baby. And I was like looking through all this stuff like that my mom gave to me. Like, you know how your mom like calls you up and is like, come get your stuff. Like, she saves all your like little kid drawings and stuff. And then one day, all of a sudden, it's like not important to her anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Takes up space.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's like
you're an adult now.
Yeah. So I got like this box, and for some reason, this tour laminate from Rolling Stones 1981 ended up in there. And it has like a, what is that, Flying V guitar?
Yes.
Drawn. It looks really, really like unprofessional tour laminate, like for these days, you know?
It's like a real lanyard. What are you gonna do with it?
I don't know.
Was that Let's Spend the Night Together?
Yeah.
I went on a date in sixth grade to go see Let's Spend the Night Together.
No way.
With a girl. This, I went on a date That's with this girl.
Cute. Okay. I was really hoping, before you said from the 80s, a Rolling Stone documentary, I was really hoping your dad was the one who shot the, Cocksucking Blues? What was that one where it's like the Rolling Stones hanging out doing heroin?
Oh, I don't know.
It's like kind of an unofficial release. It's just them.
Did you dream that?
No, I didn't. You can get it like bootleg. It would always come into the record store I worked at. It would just always be like on a VHS tape. It was real bad quality.
And then, like, Which record store did you work at?
Benway Records in Venice Beach.
Oh, okay.
And I also worked at Amoeba for a little bit. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I got fired.
What?
Yeah.
For like not like recommending enough, like,
no, for giving all of my friends discounts.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'll do, yeah.
I thought I had figured out the way. And it was weird because
to
it was,
make friends?
No, just like
to keep a job.
I figured there's no way for them to tell what's going on.
Right.
And then I guess someone was looking over my shoulder and told on me. And it was weird because it was like the girl that was like my best friend there. She's like, I really didn't think I wanted to tell him, but I had to. Like, you got me fired.
Oh.
It was an official friend discount.
Yeah.
It's like your mom turning you into Joseph McCarthy. I just felt like it was my responsibility as an American.
Yeah.
No, well, you didn't have to do that.
He loved red t-shirts. I had to turn him in.
But as part of her long-term plan, she knew you were going to follow your passions in life and become a writer. She was like, this is for your own good.
Sure. Yeah.
I have to kick you out of the nest.
You'll never go anywhere working at Amoeba.
Did you ever?
Your words were never spoken.
have you ever performed at the Amoeba store?
I haven't ever. I've shopped there many times, though.
It's fun.
It's really fun. I can drop a lot of cash in that store. Because you like just go through like one small section and you can pick up a bunch of stuff and then you're like in another, like there's like such specific organization to the racks. I mean, and then they have a lot of vinyl too.
Yeah, it's just one of those places where you start to walk out and you go, wait, what's that?
Oh, yeah.
It is pretty amazing though that
Jonah and he impulse bought a record player.
What?
Just one of those little box record players. I just wanted one for my desk.
Yeah.
Little USB?
Does it have
a USB?
It does have USB, but it's a complicated situation of trying to record your vinyl onto your computer. I can do it easier than the setup they had for it. But yeah, it's able to. But it looks like, you know, it's a Kayan with a little case so you can lift it up.
Sure, like the old days where you just put your Walkman in front of the speaker and you just hit record.
That was like, I made so many mixtapes off of my parents' record. Like, my parents had, like, a really huge record collection. And, like, of course, like, when you're in school, you have no money to buy, like, anything. I mean, I think
so
back,
you're a prisoner of your parents' musical taste.
Well, yeah, and they had good taste in music. And they had all these records that that were just sitting, you know, because they were pretty obsolete at that point. Like, it was pre, like, vinyl becoming something that people wanted. I would just take the records and I would stand there with the boombox, like taping.
We had a jukebox in the basement, and the basement flooded. And, but my dad just kept all the 45s that were in the jukebox,
awesome.
And I would go through them when I was a kid.
I remember a big thing I liked to do was dubbing cassette tapes to another cassette tape, and because it would do the high speed dubbing and it would speed everything up.
Oh,
and it was like, remember that was like a thing where that
felt
was,
like
it was hard
technological.
To do. Yeah, you're like, it's funny. James Hetfield sounds like a chipmunk.
if there was Whoa! Oh my gosh!
Oh, please don't fall back.
Like, really, it's
please
really
don't fall back.
If there was like a song I want to hear more, because with tapes you have to rewind. If there was a song that I thought, like, I'm gonna want to hear this more than once on my mixtape, I would put it twice, once on each side.
Old repeat.
Yeah, because you don't want to have to. And you have to find it. And what a nightmare.
Yeah.
You got to put it at the beginning of the side. That way you can auto-rewind.
Did you do, like, radio DJ stuff, or did you just make mixtapes?
I made just tapes. We did a little radio. My sister and I did a little of radio DJ stuff, but...
It turned out my Fisher-Price record player played a little slowly, so when I actually heard stuff digitally and how they should have been, I was like, oh, that's faster.
Yeah, I had a record player like that.
Sergeant Pepper is really loud. Yeah.
What were some of the hit songs on the old Zooey Deschanel mixtape?
Oh, man. I was like definitely limited by like my dad's record collection, but a lot of Cat Stevens, a lot of James Taylor.
Yusuf Islam. Oh, sorry, yeah. I always forget his old name, his Christian name. I never remember.
Yeah, you never forget, always forget it.
Like Graham Parsons, that sort of stuff.
Nice.
70s folk. A.M. Gold. That's like my...
A.M. Gold.
A.M. Gold is like, I would say, my area of love and expertise. And
it's a Saturday night and I ain't got
my parents were way into Seals and Crofts, so I had Seals and Crofts, greatest hits.
Oh my god, Summer Breeze.
Diamond Girl are like...
But Summer Breeze, isn't that like a little more blue-eyed soul?
A little bit, yeah.
That
it is a little bit.
Crosses over in a way that isn't... Summer Breeze is kind of... It goes a little far for me.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel good.
But Diamond Girl's got that bass riff.
I scored like a really sweet like collection that was like one of these like collections that like Warner Brothers would put out in the 70s to like let you know about the hits. Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's called Mellow Gold.
Yes.
Four discs. It's amazing.
Yeah, those collections.
I mean...
The kind you can order off a TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
Holland Oates and stuff.
It's, mm-hmm. Is it yacht rocky?
It definitely crosses over into yacht rock, but I would say it's more just like straight up Mellow Gold.
Let's see, because I do have a...
Look up Mellow Gold.
I have a yacht rock.
Then pass by all the Beck
this
links.
This is
a yacht rock playlist on here.
No, I don't think... I would say like there's like... a Stephen Stills solo track. There's an Aretha Franklin track. I mean, it really spans the gamut, but it's a good mix.
Well, tell me if any of these. So this is on my.
I can't see that far.
What?
But,
okay, yeah. Can you read this?
That's better.
No, I can't.
All right, really, guys. Like, this confirms she's not superhuman. okay, so I have "Do It Again" by Deodato, 70s classic song. Dr. Hook?
Dr. Hook.
Pablo Cruz?
No.
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan is the type of thing that would be on there. I don't think there's Steely Dan on there. I can look up this particular record and see what
Mellow Gold.
Yeah.
I got the Cannonball Run theme on here by Chuck Mangione.
Well, how did you not?
I mean shitloads of Stephen Bishop.
I feel like there might be a Stephen Bishop track.
And a bunch of Michael McDonald.
Yeah, there's no Michael McDonald.
Can't forget,
there might be a Doobie Brothers track.
Good. All right. I think I might have to pick up Mellow Gold.
That's how they sold it, too, in the commercial.
Yeah, I don't know if you can find it. You're going to have to, like, look really hard, because I don't know that it's, like, super easy to find.
You're lucky. My parents listened to shitty music, so I was stuck with shitty music when I was a kid.
Oh, what did they listen to?
My dad listened to all country music, which I've since grown to appreciate.
But I love country music.
It's but, like, 70s, like, Waylon Jennings, which I love.
Which is good, though.
Yeah, which is good. And a lot of old, like Ray Price and, like, really classic, good country
That's
music.
That's good.
My mom listened to, like, I know we had that Barry Gibb, Barbara Streisand duet album.
Okay.
Guilty.
All right.
We also had Love on the Rocks by Neil Diamond.
Okay.
And,
okay, I know. All right. I know, like, the vibe.
Yeah, so it was a definite... I almost feel like my parents were trying to annoy each other with their music. My mom hated country music and my dad hated
like
my
smooth.
Mom.
Smooth.
Why is it weird? Why is it weird all of a sudden? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Los Angeles, California.
You did?
Yes.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Crossroads High School in Santa Monica.
Crossroads.
Do you know it?
Of course.
Did you guys grow
school.
Up here?
No.
I came out here my senior year of high school.
Oh, where'd you go?
I went to a Jesuit school called Loyola.
Oh, cool. My sister went to like Marymount.
Oh,
for
yeah.
A
that
bit.
Was our
yeah.
sister school.
Yeah.
Because Marymount was an all-girls school.
Yeah. My mom kept trying to make the Catholic school thing work for like my sister because my mom loved Catholic school, but like, I don't know. I don't think it like worked. We were like crazy kids. So like it didn't.
Well, that's why
like,
you're at Crossroads, right?
Yeah, like it worked for me.
Yeah.
I never went anywhere else. Like we spent 1 year in London and I went to school there, but I went to Crossroads all the way through. But my sister switched schools a lot.
A lot of my friends that
we
grew
needed
up,
to be nurtured creatively.
Yeah. A lot of my friends that are former high school drug addicts all went to Crossroads.
But see, here's the thing. I am like, this is like a very nerdy fact about me. I know that's your like podcast. Like, I like am terrified of drugs. Like, and like I would hear those things about kids, and it would like I never knew anyone. Like, I mean, I knew people who did drugs, but I never saw them do drugs. I never knew until like later when they got caught and kicked out and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
I was the same way.
I had no idea. Like, I had no idea. I saw like an anti-drug commercial when I was like 7 that scared me so much that like. Still to this day, I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy sitting in the vial of cocaine all
actually,
by himself.
Yeah. I know, with the kid who has like the drug box
Learned
with like every kind
you.
Of drug.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was in college, my best friend Mike, this girl that he knew invited him to a party, and she casually threw in that there was going to be crack at the party. But it's such a comedy word that it did, like her trying to toss it off like it wasn't a good issue. She was like, yeah, so, you know, there's going to be a lot of cool people, music, there's going to be some drinks, crack, there's going to be chips. And he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. What
kind of chips?
Cracklin' chips.
Oh.
Cracklin' chips sound great.
Yeah, just really into pork rinds. but yeah, no, there. I know there was that thing about some. But I got an amazing education there, and I like had amazing teachers, and I actually did very well. In
yeah.
school, so
didn't Jonah Hill go there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fun nerdy smarty pants kids went to Crossroads.
Yeah.
It was a cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You could really get on the path of smartness.
Clearly.
Obviously. Hey, whoa.
Welcome to the path of smartness with Zoe Deschanel.
Listen, I'm just like trying to talk in layman's terms.
Oh, sorry. Thanks. My simpleton like, brain, my public school brain can't.
Like, I just, you know.
She
I
means,
know you
she means smartiness.
Yeah.
Jonah.
Mm-hmm. Smartiness.
Jonah. So what is a word?
Jonah, no.
It's a word.
No.
It's a word.
It is not a word.
All right. It's close to being a word, though.
Take your meds.
Smart.
So when did you, did you go to college? Did you go to college? Or
I went to Northwestern.
Oh.
But I dropped out to be an actress.
That seems to be working out pretty well. I think you made the right decision.
It's all right. It's okay.
Were you studying theater at Northwestern?
It's not a conservatory program. Mm-hmm. So it was like a liberal arts education, but I did have a focus on theater.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. But yeah, I was only there 9 months and I took some great classes there, but I don't, it was a long time ago.
Was there a job that got you to quit school or you just thought?
Yeah, I got this movie Almost Famous and
yes.
I dropped out.
Oh, excellent.
I was going to fly home to start rehearsals and I I was going to store my stuff at school because I was going to come back the next fall. And then just on a whim, I was like, I had $500 to like, to, oh, I knew I had $500 to fly home, but I didn't spend all that on my ticket. I got like a cheap ticket. So that I was like, well, I've got $300 less. I'm just going to ship all my stuff home.
Wow.
So I used all of the money to ship my stuff home.
That was before the fuel crisis.
I shipped my iMac home or whatever.
All right.
Yeah, before the fuel crisis. Yeah.
You could get a ticket for like $200 to fly.
Yeah, anyway. I know. Last minute.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Are you traveling a lot now or are you in town?
Well, you're
doing a show now. Your show got picked up.
Yes, my show got picked up.
Congratulations, The New Girl.
The New Girl.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it.
Or did you
it's
always
so fun.
Did you kind of make the conscious decision like I think I want to go do TV now? Or
no, it was like to be honest, I'd never thought about doing TV really. I mean, just, you know, I had been, had some television opportunities, but I never really thought about doing it. And then I read the script. That's not totally true. I had been developing a show at HBO, but that never really went anywhere. And then I got the script for the show and I just really, it was just really funny. It made me laugh. So.
Wait, what was the HBO one? I think I remember.
It was actually based on Pamela DeBar's book, I'm with the Band.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
About groupies. But that would have been cool too, but, it just, you know, developing things is kind of like a hit or miss kind of process.
Well, you have such a great, I mean, what's so fun about you and your career is that I feel like you make very specific choices about the kind of stuff you want to do because usually when I hear that you're in something, I always think, oh, that probably has a really cool vibe to it because that's the kind of stuff that you tend to pick. Do you turn stuff down that you don't want to?
Yeah, I just like do whatever I want, really. I know that sounds like very simple, but no, I just really am. It's just like, do I feel like doing that right now? It's very much like a based on just complete like seat of my pants decisions, really. Like I'm like, yes, no, yes, no. I make decisions very quickly. I think just cause I think when you like weigh pros and cons too much, if you let yourself be, every time I've let myself be talked into something and I have, like I've done some bad movies and they were all because I let myself be talked into it. Like someone like made me feel like it was like a good career move or something, and usually it was not a good career
move. So if we've learned anything, it's drop out of school, do what you want, and don't let people talk into stuff, and ship your iMac home.
Actually, I think that's actually pretty sweet advice.
Yeah, yeah. Bad.
To be honest, get a $200 plane ticket, ship the rest of your shit home.
Yeah, $200 plane ticket to fly to the town.
I never use that computer again.
You know, I'll tell you.
Get that iMac home.
What's really interesting is that, you know, especially as an actor where you sort of, you kind of become almost a hunter-gatherer in a weird sort of way, that you get into this mindset of, I just have to take anything that comes along because who the fuck knows when I'm going to work again. But then there is something very interesting and unique about saying no to things because you don't want to do them that creates more weird, cool stuff.
Yeah, I also write music. I have a band. And so having more than one job makes me feel so much more secure because I don't have to take jobs just because that's a bad place to be in. If you're like, well, I guess, but I'm not getting any other work, so I have to take something.
Yeah.
Then it's hard to wake up in the morning because if you're working on a movie, you have to wake up really early. And like waking up at 4 a.m. for something you're not interested in is like, oh boy.
Because then you almost feel... It almost feels like you're in debtor's prison or something. Yeah. I have no choice. I have to do this.
I mean, and then it reflects poorly on you if you're like phoning everything in, you know.
All your friends start hating you because all you're doing is complaining about the job. Mm-hmm.
You don't understand, you guys. It's really hard.
It's really hard to be.
No, we're very familiar with She and Him. I love.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Thanks.
I particularly enjoy the song Black Hole off Volume 1.
Thank you.
It's a fucking awesome song.
Thanks so much.
When did you, I mean, I know, I, obviously you had a musical background. It's not just like, oh, I'm just going to start singing all of a sudden.
Hey. Yeah.
I think when you sang in the movie Elf, everyone was like, Oh, yeah, she actually is a singer. That's not just let's let this actress sing. That's a thing she'd like when Jack Black sang in High Fidelity. You're like, that's a thing he does. That's another thing he does.
He went to Crossroads.
Yeah, he did go to Crossroads.
Yeah.
Crazy thing about that, some guy, when I was working at the record store in Venice, some guy had just watched High Fidelity, came into the store. He's all, hey, there is this guy at the end of the movie High Fidelity that sings, and it's so good. Is he a singer? Does he have an album out? And it was like the week before the Tenacious D album came out.
Oh,
and then
my gosh.
He came back in the next week and he bought it. And then he came back in the day after that. I was like, that's not what I was
expected. You're like, this doesn't sound like R&A.
Yeah.
These are songs about wieners.
Yeah, and, exactly. I want to hear Barry Jive in the Uptown Five.
I do, the Kathleen Turner Overdrive.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's right.
When I heard him on that Mr. Show sketch in the first season or second season.
The one where the Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, where he's the overalls.
Yeah. I was like, this guy, I have to hear more of this.
Oh, no, the overalls one. That's the Farmer's Daughter.
Yeah, the Farmer's Daughter. Yeah.
When we did, when I did Rock of Ages in LA with Kyle, he said, he was like, yeah, Jack piloted a lot of that stuff. Like, I remember going to his apartment once, and he was in his underwear, and there were pizza boxes everywhere, and he had drawn the Tenacious D logo on a napkin, and he just showed it to me and went, this. And they were like, and then
you're like, cool, got it.
You want to pick this place up a little bit?
Yeah.
Let's start there, and then we'll make a band.
And I'll start with pizza.
So how's it? Now you guys have two albums out?
Yeah. We put our first record out in 2008 and our second record in 2010.
And I also enjoy M. Ward as a solo artist. Like he pops up on the Pandora all the time on my Rogue Wave channel or my...
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. I love Pandora.
Yes.
actually, I was a huge fan of Matt, and I was writing tons and tons of music just like for no one. Like it was literally just sitting at, like I had a just like a big file full of music in my computer that I was recording. I had started writing music in high school and it was getting like to the point where it was like crazy, like a crazy person.
Just all to
my
yourself.
Mom, yeah. Like I play it for my mom. Like it, you know? Yeah. And my mom's like really encouraging. She's like, you're really good. You have to play it for people. And I was like, no. And people kept wanting me to do albums of like standards because I sung a standard in Elf.
Mm-hmm.
And people kept coming like, I've got an idea. Why don't you do an album of standards? And I was like, no.
You're not at the Rod Stewart point
yet. I'm not quite Rod Stewart yet.
Yeah.
So I met Matt and I gave him all my home demos and luckily he saw something in the songs that I wrote.
Yeah,
and
he's great.
Wanted to produce them. Yeah, he's such a great producer. He's so fun to work with. He's just like really creative. And
yeah, you can tell too. Like a lot of the things he does or doesn't do in the songs. Just the little, just some. I can't remember which song, but there's one song where there's a little lick in a song, and it's just the only time it kind of comes up, and he just does a lot of interesting stuff like that. I saw him once live. My friends Dios Malos opened up for him at the what's the tiny little amphitheater. On Cahuenga, is it the Henry Ford?
The Fonda?
The little amphitheater?
Oh, the Henry Ford. Yeah, the Henry Ford.
And he was playing a song on the piano, and it was beautiful, and it was very, everyone was like very happy, and there was smiles all over the place. And then it's because it's hugged up against a hill, a deer came down, was at the back of the stage during the song. Like it was like a fucking Disney movie.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, everyone's minds must have just melted out of their eyeballs.
And then, like, I think he turned around and it made a noise and it scuttled out. But.
And then he leapt on it and ripped out its throat with his teeth.
Typical M. Ward.
This is why we're here. Yeah, just holds it up by the head.
M. Ward shows, it starts off so mellow, but then it turns into a gore show.
Oh, did he slaughter the deer? Did he slaughter the deer?
Yeah, that's what he did.
He's like Ozzy Osbourne, but like more hardcore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like with four limbs.
Yeah.
But that's what's so interesting. Like, that's a sign of a really great. Artists, as you guys can come together and your sound is totally different than his sound, which is probably different from your solo sound.
Right.
And that's what's kind of fun.
It is really, it's really cool because also, like, I think the other thing is that, like, when you work well with somebody, it's like, you know how, like, when you work well with somebody, everything feels like it goes quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the day, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, oh my gosh, that was a whole day. Like, it's fun. And, like, if you're working with someone you're not supposed to work with, it's like, like an hour feels like 18 hours. I love working with him. And he's also a virtuoso guitar player. It's crazy. Yeah. And he has his own totally unique guitar playing. Like, I'll hear him play on records that I don't know he played on, and I'll be like, that's Matt, like, playing guitar. Oh, I can hear his, like, particular, because he's left-handed, but he plays a right-handed guitar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think that's part of his.
That's pretty
his
awesome.
Special.
And what it is, too, is the, that hand stronger. So mm-hmm. you hear it, you hear more defined on the fret. I love my listen to
yeah.
it a lot.
And yeah.
So you're, do yeah, you do you plan really do you good. Plan your tour? I mean, are is do you kind of have in your head like, all right, you know, TV movie tour,
yeah,
write songs, TV movie tour, or does it just sort of come?
So it kind of like all ends up falling into place. Like when I feel like doing something, it ends up like I almost took like I took a full year off, like almost a full year off last year. Just tour, I just from acting, I just. Was touring all last year. It was really fun. I did one little movie. And the year before that, I did one movie. But I really slowed down on the acting for the last few years just because I was touring a lot, which was fun. And now I'm excited to do a show, and that'll be fun too.
Do you like the idea of doing a TV show because mm-hmm. you can just stay mm-hmm. in town?
Yeah, like it's fun to be home.
Yeah.
Like I definitely get it. It grows. I grow weary of living out of a suitcase. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
is your show, is it multicam?
It is single cam.
Single cam. So they you actually...
So it's like shooting a movie.
Oh, right. So you don't get that sweet 10 to 5 sitcom schedule.
No, it's not as sweet a schedule. But you know, I don't know. I've done a couple like episodes of multicam shows, mm-hmm. and I totally respect that art. Like it's a complete skill that I think is really amazing, but I prefer to be able to do things a bunch of times mm-hmm. and like adjust my performance for the angle because mm-hmm. like you have like, if you don't know, if you have like a, you know, five cameras on you and they all, one's like a wide shot and one's, I would do different things for every shot.
Sure.
Cause
just keep your hands in the same place.
Be a robot.
I know, but
no, I think that's cool. I think that's really cool. When you're doing sitcoms, it's like you really there's not a lot of leeway to right. screw around that way.
Yeah, like, this is a sitcom. It's just one camera.
It's single camera. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Ben touring a lot now?
Yeah, he's touring. He is his record comes out like next week. But I don't know what day it is, according to the podcast.
That single, that new single's great.
It's really good, right?
It's good.
Probably really good.
This will go up after that comes out.
Okay, well, it comes out.
It's out
in May. Oh,
that album.
Out.
That
it's
album.
Really good.
It outsold Gaga.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that I didn't. I mean, like, I fucking saw him play at Bumbershoot one year. Like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. I humbly apologize.
Oh, no,
Is it
moving
your microphone?
That's
cool. The equipment looks somewhat professional. It's actually not amazing, and all of the arms to everything. Matt's microphone doesn't really work very well.
Don't have headphones. Don't know.
But this isn't our facility. This belongs to
Ryan Seacrest.
This belongs to Ryan Seacrest Productions. So I don't really know.
Out.
It's cool. He lets you guys camp out in here.
I'm fairly certain he has no awareness whatsoever that we're.
Does he like know you're here?
He might. Well, he is.
go.
He has an awareness of all things that happen.
Yes, he has this weird. He has this weird force. Almost, he's part machine. So
he's like, those nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sometimes he materializes through the wall and goes, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah, it was weird. I tweeted
back
something about him.
Martin.
I tweeted something about him one day about like, I was like, "Oh, I have as many jobs as Ryan, but with less money and more nerds, and I'm going to start calling myself Ryan C++ Crest." And then he tweeted back, "I'll parse code any day with you, buddy," or something like
that. Was a crazy response.
What?
And you're also like, how does he do it? Because he's literally on air. Like, if you think about how many jobs that guy has, like, it's he's insane. On air.
And they're all huge.
Yeah. He's on air from like 6 a.m.
Okay.
or something.
CBS is right?
Right
up there. That's where they film.
He might be the Matrix. He might be the architect. Oh, Joni, okay?
No.
Maybe us seeing him on different things is a glitch in the Matrix.
Oh.
It is.
Yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just. Same blues. Well. Maybe he's like a 14-year-old boy.
He's a cyborg that got free, and the government was like, we can't control him any longer. He's creating reality television.
Seacrest out.
When he goes into his recharging arc.
I like how many sound effects you guys make.
Well, yeah. But podcast is almost radio, so we got to do the morning
you
show.
Have to.
Laser, laser, laser.
Pew, pew, pew.
Laser.
Pew, pew.
Have you ever called into a morning radio show?
Oh, my. I've done some. Yes.
He used to host morning radio. In
well, hey. That was a long time ago. That was 12 or 13 years ago. Yes.
Nothing makes me laugh more than, like, if I ever call into a morning radio show, like, it is so funny. Like, I just find it so funny.
Sound
like,
effects.
The way, like, just like the way that the tradition of it and the way that, like, those traditions have, like, formed over the years and, like, what is expected of a morning radio host. Like, and it's like I become a being floating above my body, like watching myself talking to a morning radio host, and it's hilarious.
I can't even picture you having to call in and deal with a, hey, we got Johnny Z and the Dickhead Show. We got dickheads out here.
Here's the picture, me laughing hysterically. I think on the phone in my house in my pajamas.
What you have to understand is all these morning guys have strangely similar personalities in the sense that when the mics go off, they're all very anxious, depressed people. And I think part of it is, I think getting up at 4 o'clock every morning, it's like
it changes
slowly
human beings
destroying the fabric of their being.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I think they're all very obnoxious because I think it's a big plan to keep people from falling asleep at the wheel on the way to work in the morning. It'll just like just be obnoxious and people will stay awake and there'll be less accidents in the morning.
I think you have
to save lives.
You have to go into a character if you're doing something every morning at that hour, because if I were just, just talking like this, you'd have to be all the way up here because I'm going to fucking shoot myself in the face if I come down.
And you know what? I got to do it all again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day.
I do have to like wake up early sometimes to drive. And I do have to say like having at least something interesting happening. Like, NPR is definitely a savior in the morning.
NPR's morning show is hilarious too.
It's so funny. Oh my God.
Nietzsche and the Dickhead. Did you hear Nietzsche this morning? He was hilarious. Nietzsche and the Dickhead. Philosophical dick jokes.
If
we really want to
dick
have
dick jokes for the thinkers.
What is a dick? Hilarious.
How do I know the same boner that you're seeing is the same boner that I'm seeing?
The boner Superman.
Think about it. The Uber boner. Here it is.
Think about it or don't. I don't care.
Did you have any? Did you ever do any live comedy stuff?
Live comedy?
Like sketch or improv or anything?
In school, I did a lot of sketch or improv comedy. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. no, but seriously, I do have to say, I keep trying. Like, I love doing improv. I love it. But there's literally, like, not a class you can take in Los Angeles that's not, that they you don't have to, like, start as a beginner and, like, work your way up. And I'm like, I'm not, being a jerk here, but, like, I'm a professional actor. I've been doing it for 15 years, like, been paid to act. And I'm, like, I think I can skip beginning improv.
Jerry O'Connell doesn't. Jerry O'Connell starts from the first, he goes and takes improv classes all the time, starts at 101.
Well.
He's
I mean.
anything to get away from the twins.
Sure, he has his own set of things he wants to work on. I don't want to work on beginning improv.
Also, you should have been in Stand By Me. Why don't we just compare every choice to Jerry O'Connell? Yeah. Have you ever done ASCAT monologues at UCB?
They asked me, but I kind of was like, wasn't sure exactly what it was.
You basically just, you go up.
But I kind of wanted to like not do the part that they were asking me to
do. Oh, you
want to
be the monologist. You want to actually be in the improv.
Yeah. I don't want to tell a story. I want to act.
Listen,
it's fun though.
I'm telling you,
Yeah, it's a blast.
I have a live performance space that we do like live shows and stuff at. If you ever want
to
do,
I would love to.
And if you ever want to put an improv group together, you can go perform there.
I would love to. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be super fun.
Thank you for inviting
super
low key.
Of course. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do.
Like my mom in the audience. That'd be cool.
Maybe.
She's very supportive.
You're doing great, honey.
She loves me. Yeah.
Nice yes and work there.
Good space work.
Good space work. That looks like a phone. I could have sworn it was a phone.
Oh, here's something that I read about you that I wanted to talk to you about was because my girlfriend has the same thing is gluten insensitivity.
Yes.
which she didn't realize for you. Okay. And yeah. So what I think we're learning really in just the last few years is that people who thought they just had illnesses their whole life are actually mm-hmm. like, it's a much more prevalent
problem.
Oh
my gosh. It really is. Like, I used to get sick all the time. I mean, I used to always have I would have like sinus infections and bronchitis and like everything. And then I stopped eating that. And it really it was because I had a blood test. A lot of people just stop eating gluten because they're like, oh, well, I just don't do gluten anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, but like, it's awesome if you can eat it. Like, yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I had a blood test that it said, don't do that, man.
Did it?
It was like gluten question mark. Yeah. And then it was like, don't do that.
It was just a MM. And there was a drawing of a finger with the arrows going back and forth.
Gluten. Oh no, you did. Apostrophe.
Oh no, you didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you feel instantly? Did you feel the results?
Instantly, I felt like I was sad.
Oh right.
Like there's a mourning period when you like lose your bread privileges. Like really?
And you can find
Cakes is my savior.
Baby Cakes is great downtown, and also if you go to places like Portland and Seattle, that.
Well, like, Lucifer's Pizza on Hillhurst has gluten-free pizza.
Right.
I'm not gluten insensitive. I get the rice crust at Lucifer's because it's so good.
I've never been there.
It's really good. It's right on Hillhurst.
But do they have egg? Because I can't have eggs either. Which like because a lot of gluten-free baking has eggs in it. Because the protein in the egg makes up, because gluten is the protein that binds like everything together, and like you can actually bake without eggs. Like a lot of times, I don't know if you're into baking science, but I am.
It is a science.
It is a science. Yeah. And you can like make make stuff with just wheat flour, like just regular flour, if you put like vinegar in, because you set off the gluten.
Yeah.
But the reason why a lot of gluten-free baked stuff tastes weird because it's too crumbly because it's not being held together. It has no protein.
Yeah, never really moist or anything like that.
Nothing to hold it together, the worst word.
Do you have to make a lot of your own food?
Yeah, you can't say that word in front of me.
What did you say?
Hey, moist.
So many girls hate the word moist?
Stop saying it.
I'm just curious.
The worst word.
Yeah, I dated a girl in college and she hated that word. And the other thing that made her mad was, what is the difference between moistening and moisturizing? And I'm like, well, moisturizing is more of I don't know. Like, I couldn't really, couldn't really make a distinction. We will not say that word anymore. That word drove her insane.
It just
that drove you insane. Yeah. Why does it drive you insane?
It just sounds gross.
Okay.
You don't have like little buzzwords that just sort of like just feels like an electric shock running through your body.
No.
Really?
Not that I know of. Find one. Go.
Apple.
That's it. That's it.
Makes sense.
So do you make a lot of your own food or do you have to?
Yeah, I mean, really, like I used to be a vegetarian. I'm not anymore, and it's much easier to be just like eat meat.
Yeah.
Just eating meat, it's like makes going to restaurants a lot easier because most places have like a meat dish you can get.
Right.
Doesn't include gluten.
Right.
Right.
Steak. So you're just eating steak all the time.
Yeah. No, I don't actually really eat steak, but I eat, you know, some chicken and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I don't think people realize how much gluten is in
everything. It's in everything.
Literally everything.
It's crazy.
And whenever...
it's in soy sauce.
Yeah. It's in soy sauce. That's there's wheat and soy. Like, and you know, it's just that thing where Janet will eat something and then like an hour later she'll go, fuck, there must have been gluten in that. Like she can tell. Yeah. Like she just feels
you start
it.
Blowing up.
Yeah. And she feels awful.
Yeah.
It sort of feels like you had Thanksgiving dinner, but you only ate like a little bit. Like then you're like, I eat something.
Is there a larger like philosophical theory about like why so many like because obviously there's some sort of evolutionary thing.
I don't want to be like I'm not claiming to be like an expert on it, but they say that it has something to do with like how it's it has evolved over time. I mean, I think there are people who just don't eat gluten because they think that like all wheat in our country is genetically modified and that in Europe it's not.
Right.
But I actually have like in my blood, like something that's saying that I shouldn't have it. I think, you know, actually I'm part Irish and there are a lot, if you go to Ireland, there's like gluten-free items on every menu because like a lot of people there are gluten intolerant.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think it's just like I think it might be just a genetic thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really has exploded in the last couple of years in terms of everyone.
I think it's like also I'm not saying anything about anyone, but a lot of actresses are like, "Oh, I'm, you know, like don't eat gluten because I think it's like people like just restricting them." There's something like self-flagellating about you know, being like, well, now I don't eat this. Now I don't eat that.
Well, yeah. And it's almost, you know, I almost feel like, I mean, we don't go out to eat a lot because I almost feel like Janet, she almost has to justify it sometimes to people at restaurants. She's like,
it's hard.
No, I can't eat gluten. And they're like, okay, sure. And she's like,
No,
it's like getting food. Like, it's like getting food poisoning to her if she eats it, like violent illness.
Yeah. It definitely can be hard, and you just have to know. I mean, I feel like they're just like the places that you know that are okay to go, but definitely. Is she a vegetarian or anything?
No.
Okay, that's good.
That would, I mean, I
that
feel like that
it
would
much, much harder.
That would wake it, I mean, yeah. Because
I couldn't only eat, the only thing when I was vegetarian, the only thing I could eat was, you know, those like Vietnamese like rice, like paper rolls where they're like, it's just like a piece of like rice paper lettuce. You like dip it into like sweet and sour sauce.
Yeah.
That was all I ate for like 3 months. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. There's a lot of lettuce wrap stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when you're just on the go, it becomes impossible.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's hard to eat even remotely healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you know, traveling a ton. Yeah. Then you go to the, but then if you
Does
go
she
to
travel
the,
a lot?
Not that much. And the places she goes are, you know, they're not.
Whole Foods is the savior of traveling.
Yeah, like, Whole Foods is great.
Yeah, I mean, like, having been on tour all last year, like, I just, like, you just eat the same stuff every day, which is, like, yogurt. I would just, like, eat yogurt for every meal, like, I guess.
Put it on the rider.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, yeah. You know how, like, they publish people's, like, hospitality writers, like, fans?
Yes.
Like,
what a diva. Move.
I'm like, but it's so funny because I'm like, they would like really think I was cool if they saw it. Mine's like Greek yogurt, almond milk. like, I think Matt asked for like cupcakes or something. Like that's like our writer. Like, there's nothing else on there.
I worked with at the record store in Venice. I worked with Ronnie, the bass player from the band The Muffs, and he would always tell me stories where they would all get together and think about what they can put on their. On their rider so they can just have stuff when they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they would put 12 packs of toilet paper and just like in stuff they would need.
So basically they're having venues do their grocery shopping.
Yeah. And so by the time the tour is over, they said like, you know, the merch part of the van would be gone and then it would just be replaced with all the stuff. They'd come home, they'd split it all up and they wouldn't have to go shopping for a while.
Brilliant. Pretty genius.
I think that, you know, I know you have to pay for all that stuff. So I always think like, it's funny when they do that because you're like, well, that person is, you guys realize that that person's paying for like the elephant rental or whatever it is. They're like crazy things.
A lot of elephant rentals in the She and Him shows now?
Oh, yeah.
Matt's tired of slaughtering deer. It's like, I want to fucking go bigger. Like, I just want to go as big as possible.
Oh, my God.
I want to kill an elephant by hand on stage.
What about a water buffalo, Matt?
Let's work our way up. when you're writing, do you sit down to write, or is it one of those like, I have an idea for a song, now I'll write, or do you force yourself to write?
I have to force myself because otherwise I get distracted. So I have to like I have to lock myself in my house for days on end and be like, I don't really write ever with other people, so I kind of have to be alone, and I have to like have the feeling of being alone for like enough time before I start to write. Like it's sort of like a strange thing that that's why I was writing all that music. I was like alone on location, like doing movies where I was like really like lonely, didn't know anyone. And I was like alone in hotel rooms with like a little keyboard, like writing songs and like a travel guitar.
What would you record onto?
Well, originally I would record, I had an M-Box, which was like the portable Pro Tools. And I had like microphone, and literally like I would travel with a suitcase full of stuff. Like I would have like cables and like microphones. And
so you could get flagged as a terrorist.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I can't even tell you. Like like if you're traveling with like a slide for a guitar, like no one knows what that is.
Yeah. It's a pipe bomb.
Everyone thinks you're doing something wrong. And like a folding guitar and like a keyboard.
Oh, I've seen those folding guitars. They actually sound okay.
It totally sounds not bad. Like, I mean,
it gets the job done.
Yeah, it gets the job done. It's its own like style. Sounds twangy. But yeah, I would just travel in a Glockenspiel. I just like have a bunch of crap in there.
Oh, the Glock.
Yeah, you gotta have a
Glock. Love the Glockenspiel.
The Angel Glock. It's like this little folding one that like.
You're like a one-lady band. Yeah. When you check into a hotel, you set up a recording studio.
That's what I used to do, but like now, like computers have built-in microphones, which actually sound better or easier. If you're just trying to make a quick demo, it's like so much easier to use the internal mic.
GarageBand.
Than setting up like a mic and then like having to deal with like, my first demos, I would blow out like every take, like because I'd be like so cool. I didn't, you know, it was like they have a really specific style because they're like, I didn't know anything about, I had like no knowledge of like recording or that, like,
oh, it's going into the red, it must mean distorted. It's picking up.
Okay, it's going into the red. Yeah. Everything's like,
it's like the idea of you're going into a hotel and like, you know, like putting up that foamy egg crate on the wall and setting
up. Before that, I had a digital 8-track.
Oh, okay.
A Roland digital 8-track. And before that, when I was in high school, my first recording thing was, if you had a karaoke machine, this microphone keeps moving, by the way. That's fine.
Sorry.
I had a karaoke machine with 2 tapes. Mm-hmm. And so you could take that and it would be like an old fashioned like overdub where you just go like almost probably like, I guess how like Les Paul did it. Like originally you'd take a tape and then you'd have it and then you'd sing a harmony and then it would go on to the next tape and then you'd switch the tapes.
Yeah.
And then you have to do a mix down every once in a while, right?
To pull all the tracks.
You're just going back and forth?
You literally go back and forth because have 2 tracks. You don't have, it's not like a, it's not, there's no mix down. It's just literally like you screw it up, you screw it up.
Yeah.
There's no going back and pulling out
there's
tracks.
There's no going back. So, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was, it worked.
How many songs do you think, I mean, do you feel like, do you have enough songs for like, are there 5 more albums of songs that have been, that are unreleased?
You know, no, because like there's a reason why some songs, you know, it's like some songs end up on records and then like, you know, some, you know, are, you know, aren't necessarily worthy of being put out
B-sides.
Into the world. Yeah, like true B-sides. Yeah. Z-sides.
These weren't really the...
Yeah. I mean, there's some songs. Yeah, there's some songs. But I really feel like the next record's going to be all new songs. And it's going to... You know, it's like that third record thing where you, like, don't have your whole life to write anymore.
Yeah.
I'm too busy.
I'm too busy. No, but you know how, like, they say, like, you have your whole life to write your first record.
Right.
And then there's a second one. They call that the sophomore slump.
Well, it's like the kids that go to the open mic and they like the stuff they've been working on their whole lives. That's their funniest stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I think
it's terrible.
I know.
If it's one of the reasons. See your mic situation.
What's that? What are you saying?
Really like,
Chris,
yeah.
Sorry.
I think it's one of the reasons why Flight of the Conchords didn't want to do a third season because the first season they did all of their A stuff and then it was like, now you got to go write hit songs again for the second season.
Yeah.
And it's just
going to go Freddie Mercury on there.
They just thought it was awful, the experience. What?
I'll just hold this like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, so let's keep referencing things people can't see with their ears.
They can imagine what I said, though.
Yeah.
Nice juggling act.
That could be a penis.
For those of you just tuning in.
Why would you be wearing those ballet shoes, Matthew?
Well, Christopher.
That shirt he's wearing, it's just, you just gotta see it.
Your jacket's on fire. Zoe, I was wondering.
It's like those old radio shows.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no!
The Foley artist. Yeah. Who brought that horse in here? Rochester, was that you? No, look at me. Is there anything, you know, so acting, music, is there anything else? Is there any other medium?
Stuff that
is there
I
any
do?
Other thing you want to try to
do you paint?
Oh, I just am starting a website that's like a, I don't, you guys maybe wouldn't be interested, but
what is it?
It's a comedy website for girls.
But
there's
yeah.
a section called Hee Haw for boys. Nice. But it's called Hello Giggles. And my friend, my friend's Molly McAleer, who's like a blog. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's one of my partners. And then my other friend, Sophia Rossi, who's a producer. We started this website.
Sophia Rossi, is she married to a guy named...
She's not married.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
But she's... There's also a porn star named Sophia Rossi. It is not the porn star. Okay. It is the producer.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Just so you know. Yeah.
There's also a porn star named Chris Hardwick.
Actually, I wonder why.
There was a comic named Dick Hardwick, and I'm like, if anything could make my last name worse, it's the name Dick as a first name. Poor son of a bitch. So what's going to be the
focus? He had a choice then.
He really didn't have to be. He could have been Richard Hardwick. Yeah, he could have been Richard Hardwick. What's sort of sketch or is it blog format or what?
It's a comedy and lifestyle. So we have like blogging and then we're going to do like more. I mean, we're just starting. So we're going to have like more video content and stuff. It's going to be like literally everything, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool because there's like not enough stuff for girls.
No.
I totally agree.
A girl, like there's like almost been like a tipping point in the last year as far as like. There was no place for girls in comedy. Like if you want to be like in a comedy, like you have to play somebody's best friend or you have to play somebody's girlfriend.
Right.
Or the bitchy wife. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for a long time there weren't that many women writers, like comedy writers. And like all of a sudden there's just been, it's like a total tipping point. Like
now is a good time.
It is a great time.
Get into it.
So many of the comedy pilots that were picked up this season are women.
Yeah, Whitney's got picked up.
Both of hers.
Both of hers, which is crazy.
And she has a talk show, which is crazy.
Yeah.
She also has a talk show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she has the one that she wrote with her friend.
Yeah.
And then she's then the one she stars in.
And writes. And then she has a talk show.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. For one,
that is a lot. That's a lot.
She's like Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. Come on, you guys. What are we all doing here?
I'm like really a sucker for that kind of thing.
But she is a workaholic.
You got me. Yeah.
Whitney is a crazy workaholic.
Right.
She is. She absolutely is.
You would have to be.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. And then, you know, with Bridesmaids being such a huge success.
Such a good movie.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's awesome. So, anyway, we started this website and for all our friends who are funny.
I'm excited about your website. I think it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to it.
That would be fantastic.
Wait, this podcast does not follow me on Twitter.
We don't. I do.
You do.
Yeah, but this podcast doesn't have its own podcast. Yeah.
No, Nerdist.
I'm Nerdist.
You don't follow me.
I do follow you.
Chris, last time I checked, I followed you and you did not follow me.
I'm 100% positive I was following you.
I'm at the real Zoe D.
I know who you are because hang on.
You just hit a chord with Mr. Twitter.
I was a little mad.
I thought
he's my friend. We were on two talk shows together.
Individually, whatever. I think we all follow you.
I am following you.
Do I follow her? I don't know if I follow Zoe.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Well, okay.
Look at the following button right there.
I checked originally, though.
No,
it took. Well, I followed you first.
That's okay.
All right,
baby. Why we gotta fight about Twitter, baby? Come on, everything's groovy.
And then,
we can send each other DMs.
I know. I love Twitter.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so fun.
It really has been. It really has been a lot of fun. I mean, as much as. You know, so it's funny. I feel like, oh, everyone's on Twitter. And then you get to the middle of the country and then you go, who here's on Twitter? And then you just hear this.
No.
I don't think it's made one for my cat. Yeah. What am I going to say? Got up, had breakfast? No. Think of something interesting to write. It doesn't, you know. You hurt my brain. Why you won't hurt my brain?
I am surprised how many people have Twitter accounts who don't have Google. Like, they'll be like, when's your show on? And I'll be like, well, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah, we got a lot of listeners like that. They're just like, when's the next one going up?
How about you check the website? That'd be cool. Because like,
just think it. Think it
and
through.
You could have tweeted something like 5 minutes ago and then people will ask you again.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you can't quite get this, I can't help you.
Yeah.
What were you, did you like nerdy stuff when you were growing up?
What constitutes? I mean, there's so many different types of nerdy.
You're absolutely correct. Were you into computers at all? Were you into sci-fi? Were you into video games? Were you into any of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was like, I would call myself like an extremely nerdy child, but I don't know, like, if I was like fit the box of nerdy, but like, is there a box of nerdy?
Not anymore.
Whoa. Well, yeah, it's, like there's two sides, different flavors.
I was like,
adorable.
Oh my gosh. That was good.
Thanks, thanks.
You should do this professionally.
There's watermelon and grape. There's watermelon and grape.
And there's nerd cereal.
Definitely watermelon. Definitely.
Watermelon's good.
Yeah, I mean, I like read all the time as a kid, and I did like Nintendo.
All right. What Nintendo game did you like?
I was really into Zelda.
Yeah, you go.
Zelda. Did you get the Ocarina app on your iPhone so you could play the Ocarina?
No.
Yeah, it's really nice.
You play it by blowing into the
speaker. Really?
On your phone. Yeah, just
the coolest part though is that you can, there's a map of the world that you can go and you can listen to other people playing live.
Yeah, when they're playing there, it's like, and it shows up as this green beam of like,
so weird.
Yeah. Ocarina, the Ocarina app.
It's crazy because you can listen to the way people are playing in Japan.
Yeah.
And then you can go into like the Eastern Bloc of Europe and it's different.
Totally different.
It's like a diatonic scale over there.
Yeah. Anytime there are quarter tones, there's going to be some different stuff.
Different things going on.
Yeah, I was definitely into the Super Nintendo. That was my thing. But like, actually, like a little too into it. I feel like it got to be like, it put me in a really terrible mood when I would have to like be pried away from.
Right.
You know, because you like get on a roll. You're like about to like beat a boss of a level.
Yeah. Like, a lot of games didn't have saving.
Your mom's like dinner. And you're like, no.
Dinner's not going to beat this boss.
No.
That's why
I'm about to get a pendant.
There's so many great there's so many great YouTube videos of kids freaking out when their game, like when the console shuts off, or like,
oh my gosh.
Or that they lose their game or something. Yeah. I was totally
I was
one
into
of those.
Computer games too. I really liked there's a game called Transylvania. Uh-huh. Do you know of this game? It's along the lines of it's the one where you type in a command. You'll be like, move rock.
Yeah, text-based like Zork. Like those
like the beginning of the movie Big, where he's playing the Ice Wizard.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was really into that. I actually really loved computer games. I really liked computers. But I never like was like programming computers to like make my own games or anything.
No.
I don't know how far you want me to like go into this nerd thing.
I want you to start programming your own games.
Yeah. We did learn a little bit like when we were like on the Apple IIe's. Like,
yes. Yes.
Like, what was it? What was the turtle name? What was it called? Where you learned, you're like, you type all this code and then you just make the turtle like walk across and turn left. And you're like, oh my God.
I did that.
I can't believe it.
I am a god.
You type like slash. Like but it literally like almost was just typing, because you'd just be like, okay, if I wanted to go like forward 3 inches, I have to like type like slash. And then, if I want to like turn in a circle, like
this shit's like, hard.
Yeah, it's just like boring. I taught my phone, like remember like when you they were okay, so like the Nokia phones, like in 2001
you put the notes in.
Yes it had to be like, yeah, like you, but it was a very complex system. Yeah. Like there were a lot of characters you needed to enter for like each note. And I taught it to play I taught it to play In a Sentimental Mood. I was like, I'm just like, I had like the real book, like the jazz, like fake book. Mm-hmm. I had that and I was like, I was like really bored. And so I just taught it to play a bunch of like jazz standards.
I tried hard to make mine make a Dr. Dre sound, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, it worked better with, but it's like, who wants to hear a phone play like Coltrane?
That's how you make it sound as white as possible.
Yeah. Like, boop.
It's Ornette Coleman. It's real out there.
Are you a Percy Faith fan?
Percy Faith.
He's
no.
A conductor. It's so gorgeous.
Really? I'm totally missing out.
It's old.
I like the Norman Luboff choir.
All right.
If you know who they are.
Well, we're pretty much at the end of our hour.
My gosh,
so
this
couple,
was really fun.
There's a couple things I want to say. Number one, we've got to. We'll go get some gluten free pizzas at Loose Verse as long as there's no eggs in it.
Okay, cool.
And then this is. I wanted to give you this thing. I started getting books. Oh. I don't know if this is even something that you'll want. For some reason, I'm on someone's sci-fi romance novel book list. So I have all these crazy, like...
Do you want me to write a review?
No. I don't know whose book this is. But this one just looked kind of fun. It's called A Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. And it's a weird detective-y, steampunk...
Yeah.
Oh,
Chris keeps on buying the rights to all of these books. And
I don't know what that's all about.
Yes. Ooh, the teacup.
Right?
I like that this gentleman has his pinky fully
out. That's how you know he's fancy.
Well,
yeah.
But I think of that as a lady thing.
In those days, men were dandy.
That's true. Yes.
Steampunk dandies, we called them.
It's a steampunk because... They both have goggles,
yes.
Which is like how you know.
That's how you know. Steampunk, yeah. Someone on Twitter once pointed out that steampunk is what happens when goths discover the color brown.
Yeah, that's true. Or when they want to get crazy and go sepia.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome. I love that. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks.
On the podcast.
I'll come back again if you want me to.
I would love to have you come back.
This was really fun.
Oh, and then the third thing we're going to do is you can do a live improv show.
Oh, yeah.
At the Meltdown
Let's
space.
Do it. Okay, cool.
But you have to start at the 100 level.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, can't you start
me at like
200?
It's the Jerry O'Connell clause. Sorry.
Jerry O'Connell
clause.
I like that's like the person that I'm like, all right, cool. I guess I never really thought of Jerry O'Connell as like the template for like how I should live my life.
I do, you know.
I like the YouTube.
Every day. I always keep a comb in my pocket.
Zooey Deschanel just had sex with Rebecca Romaine. Yeah. She's living like O'Connell.
Also, Heather Graham. She was taking classes over at UCB as well.
Was she really?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't hear? You don't look at the student roster of that theater?
It's weird. I follow her everywhere. And I'm like, how did I miss that one stop she was making every
week?
Were
they in sketch or were they in improv?
She was in improv.
Because you like have to like work your way up
to
sketch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Whatever.
You have to improv your way into writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I never, you know, as someone like in the 1900s, I took some of the Groundlings classes. And so I had already done a bunch of improv. But then when I started taking the classes,
it was so different.
Terrible because I never thought about the rules before.
They have different rules. Like they all have different rules.
Yeah, Second they City all have slightly different rules. Focus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'll all be like, no, 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 no.
That's not how you do it.
You took a class at the Groundlings and you cannot come here.
I spent $6,000 at the Groundlings. What are you talking about? What do you mean that was wrong?
Yeah. And then they cut me or whatever.
Yeah, Ryan Stiles just had an article about how he thinks that the short form games are the better improv than the long form stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of long form people will tell you that short form games aren't real improv.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know what? There's no right way.
Nope.
It's all improv, guys.
It's all improv. It's all off the top of the dome.
It's all funny.
It's all off the top of the dome.
Or yes, not. And enjoy your burrito.
There it is.
That's what we say at the end of the podcast.
It doesn't have to always be funny. That's the thing.
No, it could just be a scene.
I really like. I think that like when people try to be funny, it's not so.
That's why I stopped doing improv because my stand-up muscle was to try to take control of the scene and make jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's always the worst improv when people are trying to make jokes. Like the scenes have to be organically funny with everyone working as a team.
Right. It has to be a story.
That was too much of a control freak.
It's really hot today, isn't it? I can't stop farting. No, stop.
Because of the heat. I have hot farts. I have heat stroke induced farts. What? Same?
Freeze?
Freeze? I'll deliver this baby. Not another pregnancy freeze.
No, but.
And, okay. Curtain.
Zooey Deschanel, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming.
You sound excited.
No, I'm really excited.
That's Jonas the Hipster. That's all right.
Yeah, he doesn't care about me or anyone.
He can't.
Mustache.
He's been culturally lobotomized.
Stuff, but you probably never heard of it.
Yeah. At the last Sunset Junction, they had free lobotomies. Yeah. Came with the fixed gear. It was great.
I'm just going to go in like the last scene of Flim Flug with Cuckoo's Nest and just put a pillow over his face just to end his suffering.
Make sure it's down.
Yeah. You got caught in a hipster bear trap.
He had to ironically gnaw off his own hand.
Hey, is that a PBR? Hold on here.
No.
Yeah, I got a hook because it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Steampunk.
So played out.
So played.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meet easily with colleagues, even when traveling or working remotely. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com, promo code Nerdist.